Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The Bible includes the words of many great people. In fact, they are greater than most people because many were godly people, led by God. They were like God in their behavior. But there was one who spoke that was different from all the others. He had a different sound than what men had ever heard before. He stands out above all the rest. Jesus spoke as men had never spoken. In John chapter 7, "And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him." You see, dear friend, the people had mixed reactions toward Jesus. Further in this chapter we read, "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Those in power sent officers to take Jesus, but they returned without him. And when asked, Why have ye not brought him? The only answer they gave was, Never man spake like this man. They had been overwhelmed with what they heard and how it had been delivered. Well, what was it about the sayings of Jesus that made them so distinct from all the others? Jesus was not outstanding because of his fashionable clothing or his riches or political power. He did not attract people to himself because of his physical appearance. Isaiah 53, verse 2, said of him in prophecy, He hath no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. His appeal was not through high education of this world or academic learning. So many today are impressed with various speakers because of the string of academic degrees they have attained. Do we not realize that some of the world's biggest fools have such things because they deny God? And God has said, The fool saith in his heart, There is no God. So many of the problems of digression and apostasy that are attacking the church and the doctrine of Christ today are coming through the seminary-trained collegiate influences from both within and without the church. We ought not be swayed by those who would have you believe of their superiority because they have academic degrees. Many of us have them also. But what of that? As often as not, getting those degrees have so stained a person that he is not near as sound in the faith as those who have simply studied the book. Jesus did not get attention by being a good actor or a pretender, but it was because he had something to say, and because of the authoritative way that he said it. He spoke as the Son of God, and he was the Son of God on this earth. No one had ever spoken with such authority as did Jesus. Men had spoken for God, with God guiding and inspiring their words. Their authority had been delegated to them. But none had spoken as God, for none could. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, It hath been said, but I say unto you. At the end of his sermon, it is written that he taught as one having authority. Matthew 7, verse 29. When Jesus and the Samaritan woman had a conversation, we read these words in John chapter 4. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Again in John chapter 8, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And in verse 23, Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. And in verse 28, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. After his ascension into heaven, the apostles spoke in his name and by his authority. He had promised them the coming of the Holy Spirit that would guide them, would teach them, would bring all things to their remembrance, John 14:26. When Paul taught, he said he taught the commandments of God, 1 Corinthians 14:37. The authority of the apostles was and is real because authority was delegated to them from the true source of authority, Jesus Christ. They were the ambassadors of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:20. They were the earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4:7. Their authority was derived from the Emmanuel, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2 and verse 9. His words produced divine results. There was power in his words. He could, by speaking, still the tempest, calm the elements, heal the sick, give sight to the blind, let the lame walk, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. Such evidence was presented to John the Baptist, among others, to reassure him that Jesus was the Lamb of God. But there was also tenderness and love and compassion in the speaking of Jesus as he spoke men's sins forgiven, encouraging the weak, sympathizing with the sorrowful. The power of his word is seen when he said, "Lazarus, come forth," and Lazarus came forth from the grave alive again. None before him nor since could speak with such complete power and produce such results as did Jesus. Truly, never man spake like this man. And even though his words were divine and powerful, there was a simplicity about them. Some seem to think that they're called upon to display their learning rather than achieve the learning of their hearers. Two listeners were attending a lecture one time and listened for a while until one turned to the other and said, "He sure must be smart. I can't tell what he's talking about." Well, two others were listening also and discussing the speech and the speaker. And one of them asked, "What is he talking about?" And the other responded, "He doesn't say." It is said of the preaching of Jesus, however, that the poor had the gospel preached to them, and the common people heard him gladly, Mark 12 and verse 37. His words were such that Isaiah prophesied of his message, "The wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein," Isaiah 35 and verse 8. Away with all of this parade of worldly learning by those who preach, as if all of that kind of learning matters. Bring more of the way and manner of Christ and of Paul. Paul said, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." 1 Corinthians 2, 1-5. With authority and power and simplicity, Jesus and his words were made vibrant because they were firm. They were right to the point. They were precise. Sometimes they could even be called stern. Some feel firmness and kindness cannot exist at the same time, but Jesus demonstrated both. Sternness may reveal greater compassion, even compassion sufficient to cause one to speak in ways he might not prefer, but which are necessary to accomplish the needed good of the hearer. Jesus spoke kindly, but firmly, even sternly. And we cite as examples, for our hearer's investigation, the words of Jesus in Matthew 21, and in Matthew 23, and in John chapter 8, Friend, do yourself a favor and read these chapters. You will see that Jesus used words that were at times fierce and firm when the occasion demanded it, and they were to preserve and to save, never to destroy anything but what was evil. We can see why those who heard Jesus came away saying, "Never man spake like this man." But Jesus was different, not only because of his manner and his authority, the simplicity, the firmness, the kindness, but also of the subject matter which he spoke. He spoke of God as no other had spoken of him. He claimed God as his Father. "I and my Father are one," John 10 and verse 30. He claimed God sent him, and he was the Christ, John 8 and verse 18. "I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me," he said. He taught of God as being perfect and the giver of good gifts. He taught God's providence and care in his nature. This was in order to permit man to know the Father, how God rewards, how God punishes, that God is a God of love, but also a God of wrath, a God of mercy, and a God of justice. He taught about man as none other had taught. He taught the value of the soul being worth more than the whole world. He taught the proper relationship between husband and wife and parent and child and neighbor to neighbor and a citizen to his government, even behavior toward enemies. He presented man's responsibility to God and the duty to obey God. He offered the solution to the problems that confront and confuse mankind. He came to teach and to show the right way to live and how to be prepared for death. Truly, never man spake like this man. And his most glorious message was the way of salvation from sin. He told of its cost. He said the Son of Man must be lifted up, John 3:14. God gave his only begotten Son out of love to save man, John 3:16. And salvation can be ours upon obedience, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16. In Matthew 11:28, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It was the Christ that taught about the new birth, John 3:3-5. He brought hope to sinful and undeserving humanity. He offered forgiveness. He offered heaven. He cited himself as the way. "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me," John 14:6. Cannot it truly be said, "Never man spake like this man"? But you know, Jesus also taught about life beyond the grave. Now, centuries earlier, Job had asked, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" Job 14:14. But Christ answered, "But whoso drinketh of the water of life that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." John 4:14. Again he said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man shall eat of this bread, he shall live forever. I live because of the Father, so he that eateth me, he shall live because of me. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Friend, I have just read to you a number of the statements that Jesus taught and things that he spoke. He not only taught life after death, but the resurrection of the good and the evil in John 5:28 and 29. He died, but he was raised, and he became the firstfruits of them that slept, 1 Corinthians 15:23. "Those that are his shall be raised to walk with him in heaven forever and forever," 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. And for these and other reasons, we can say, as did those of long ago, never man spake like this man. But there's one more reason I wish to mention to you why he was different from all the others who had spoken or who shall ever speak. We shall be judged by what he said. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. John 12 and verse 48. His words shall be the standard by which our lives shall be weighed and measured. Never man spake like this man. Therefore we plead with all, to each one who hears the sweet voice of Jesus Christ as he softly and tenderly calls to him, hear him when he says, "Come unto me, I am the way." This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.